Romans chapter 2, from verse 17 to verse 29. Now this passage, the title over the section in my Bible says, The Jews and the Law. And of course that's quite right. It's about the Jews and the law and other things as well, circumcision as well. But the truth is that what Paul says here applies to all religious men and women. And there's one man it applies to more than any, in my mind at least, as I speak in this discourse, and it's me. It's me. If ever a passage of Scripture is a challenge to me, it fits me, and I have to face is this one. For what do we have here? Well, where are we in this book? Paul is setting out the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And where does he begin? With the plight of man, the wrath of God against men. Why? Because we are sinners. We fell in Adam, and we've added to our sin. You take the heathen, the pagans, who never had the law, have no scripture, no knowledge of Christ and so on. Still they have the light of nature. Still they have a conscience which condemns them or approves of them and so on. There's enough light in nature and in creation, says Paul, to show men that there is a God who has to be worshipped and must be served. But men by nature suppress the truth. They don't want to know. They change the glory of God, the invisible God, into something visible, tangible. And men seek after things, created things, rather than the Creator. And then he comes to the Jew. The Jew has been favored, of course, because he has the law. He has the prophets. He has the temple, the sacrifices, the priesthood, and all the rest of it. He has many, many indications of God's presence and power and blessing. And he's had the gospel announced to him in advance in these shadows and pictures. But as Paul has shown, having the law, having all the opportunities that the Jews had, has only added to their condemnation. They're without excuse because of their hypocrisy and their stubbornness. And their sin, even under the law. More light, yes, but they brag about it. But more light brings more responsibility and more accountability. And we've still not finished. Paul is still not finished. Now, you, if you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law and brag about your relationship to God, if you know his will and approve of what is superior because you are instructed by the law, if you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of infants, because you have in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, you then who teach others, and so on. In other words, now he's showing the Jews that they have more light. Of course they do. They have more opportunity. They're better instructed than the pagans. But this instruction, this opportunity, has only added to their responsibility. And if they sin and stumble and fall and fail to come up to what this law and this knowledge and instruction leads them to, it brings greater condemnation. Now, it's not just Jews and law. It's all religious men. It's me. Here am I, I've got my Bible open, I'm speaking, I'm instructing, I'm teaching, I write books, I give counsel and advice to people, I talk to people, I converse with people, I call myself a Christian, I rely on this and that, and I brag about that, I approve of this, I've got this. Is this true of me? Then I have to rebuke myself. It's not having this knowledge, it's not having this instruction, it's not having this insight into the word of God that he's given me, and so on, if there is any. As Paul says, you can teach others, but do you not teach yourself? You preach against stealing. Do you steal, and so on? And he deals, first of all, with the sin of hypocrisy. And who is free of it? I want to be free of it. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I'm not bragging about it. But I am a hypocrite, and all of us are hypocrites. Every hearer of me is a hypocrite. I don't care who you are. We're all sinners in this regard. We've all got some measure of light. You can't be an utter pagan without any light at all, because you're at least listening to this sermon. That's a measure of light, however dim the candle might be. Well, it's not having it. It's not bragging about it. It's not listening to sermons. It's not reading the Bible. It's not having the opportunity to hear the gospel and all the rest of it. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, Paul condemns up to verse 24. And then verse 25, circumcision. Now here's a rite and ceremony that God gave the Jews. But you can observe all the ceremonies you like, he says. We got baptism if you like, or the Lord's Supper, or attending preaching, or an open Bible, whatever. We got all these advantages. I'm not equating circumcision and baptism like the Presbyterians do, not at all, no. But we can have the ordinances of God. We can have the service of God. It's only got value if you keep what it's all about. These Jews, they were circumcised, but they don't keep the law. And he said, God, and Paul said, this is your plight, he says. You've got the circumcision, you've got the law, but you don't keep it. You're a lawbreaker. And he goes on speaking about those who don't have circumcision, don't have the law, but they live up to it better than those who do have it. Of course, that's going back to what we saw in chapter earlier in the chapter in verses 14 and 15, verses 12 to 16 and so on. What is that? The Gentiles, they don't have the law, they don't have these ceremonies, the Jews, and these opportunities that the Jews had, but nevertheless, many times, they outdo the Jews. But even so, all of us sin. Paul comes to it. Verse 28, a man is not a Jew if he's only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. External religion, going through the motions, reading the Bible, saying my prayers, attending places of worship, hearing preaching myself, writing my books, whatever. That's no use at all. A man is a Jew if he is one inwardly. And of course, this is the word that Christ gave to Nicodemus. You can have all your religion, Nicodemus, you can have all your Sanhedrin work, you can do all this. Yes, he said, but unless you are born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. You will never enter the kingdom of God. No, a man is a Jew if he's one inwardly. A man is a Christian if he's one inwardly. A man truly is a man, a child of God, if he is one inwardly. And his circumcision must be circumcision of the heart. His preaching, his teaching, his reading, his praying must all come out of the heart. His heart must be alive for Christ. It's not just a mental assent, an external conformity. But only by the Spirit in the heart, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. I say this condemns me. This condemns me. I hope my religion, I hope my work is not simply external, going through the motions. I hope there's an inward spiritual life and power in it. If there's not, then it's adding to my condemnation. But it's not just me, my friend, it's all preachers, even your great tele-evangelists, your great pastors and teachers. But it's you as well, my friend. It's all my hearers. You may have many advantages in spiritual terms, but unless you're born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. Now, this is not the last chapter in the gospel. It's the opening salvo. And Paul begins where he should begin, with the plight of man. The wrath of God is revealed against all this hypocrisy and external and dead religion. This is a challenge to those seeker preachers, seeker evangelistic preachers, those friendly evangelists to preachers who, you know, churches are there to include everybody in and make them feel welcome and none of the difficult bits. My friend, you're falling foul of the apostle here. The apostle opens with the plight of man, the ruin of man, the deadness of man, the corruption of man, the hypocrisy of man, the sin of man, the condemnation, the wrath of God upon every creature. Pagan, Jew, Gentile, Greek, so-called Christian, whoever we might be, Pope, Muslim, priest, atheist, whoever we are, unless we're born again, we'll never see the kingdom of God. Now, of course, I don't know whether you will go on hearing me set out the discourse of the gospel. I can't leave it there, just in case you'll never hear it again. What is the answer to all this? Well, it's not here yet. But we're coming to it soon now, but if you really want to know the answer, you have to jump to chapter 3 and verse 21, and the answer is Christ. And it's the only answer, Christ. So unless you're born again, my friend, you will never see the kingdom of God. You can have all the religion in the world. You can have all the atheism in the world if you want. But unless you are born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. You will never enter the kingdom of God. This is the subject in this discourse. You must be born again. Have you been born again, my friend? How do you know? Do you repent? Do you believe? Have you come to Christ, received him? Do you have the Spirit leading you to Jesus? What do you think of Christ as the test? What do you think of him? Is he precious to you? Is he your Lord and Savior? Or are you still dead in your sins? If so, the wrath of God abides upon you. You must be born again.